Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of church fellowship, we were taught that when a person really cares, he will go out of his way on a consistent basis to help others. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
When one cares, he goes out of his way, and he'll do it on a consistent basis. You could drive a bus, but the trouble of getting a CDL with a passenger endorsement is beyond what you want to do. And then getting up early on Sunday, then getting home later than most people after the morning service, oh, that's just too much trouble. Although they could go out and visit together as a family and have a family ministry. But see, they don't want their comfort zone to be upset. And of course, it really doesn't matter if little children grow up without Christ and end up going to hell because their comfort is more important when they could have reached those little children. I wonder how many of God's people will stand one day at the judgment seat of Christ and see souls of multitudes that they could have had an influence on, could have perhaps gotten saved, had they went ahead and got involved in that bus ministry and drove the bus and knocked on the doors to try to build a bus route. I wonder if we'll see those souls. I was preaching at Pensacola Christian College years ago, and afterwards a lady that was a senior there and a nursing student getting ready to graduate, she says, I want to come up and thank you and tell you that I am so glad you have your bus ministry at your church. I didn't know the girl. And then she went on to tell the story. She says, one day somebody came by our house from your church and knocked on our door. And my parents were unsaved. And, of course, nobody in our family was saved. We didn't go to church. But we were excited that we could go to a church that has a bus and children's churches and Sunday school. We just enjoyed it. But we only lived there for a month or two, and then we moved away to another state. But that experience there and learning about Jesus just so excited us that in this other state, the first thing we asked our parents is help us find another church that has buses and children's church. And we did. And we got saved. My parents got saved. Now they're missionaries. They're missionaries. And I'm going to go over and join them when I graduate as a medical missionary. Now, we praise the Lord for that. Here is somebody that was reached through the bus ministry. So there's an area which the Lord can use you. When the Lord shows you a need in his house, one that needs cared for on a consistent basis, he's giving you an opportunity to show your care and compassion on a consistent basis, not a one-time action. It has been said that 10% of the people are doing 90% of the work. Too often, that is too true in most local churches. Frequently, we see one person doing three jobs, when it's God's will for them to do only one. But no one else cared enough to make a continual commitment. It might interfere with camping, golfing, or some other like thing that we say, well, those things aren't evil. No, but just the fact that you keep those things ahead of doing the work that God would have to do, it becomes wrong. Not the thing itself, but the priority that is given in your life over the Lord. One of the saddest portions of Scripture is Psalm 142, verse 4. There we read this, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge filled me. No man cared for my soul. Caring would also include praying for one another, visiting the sick, comforting the bereaved. We told you back about James 1:27 that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father was to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, as well as to keep yourself unspotted from the world. And does that fulfill the command in Genesis 6:2 to bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ? Again, that's not the pastor's duty, the deacon's duty, or the teacher's duty. It is as much the duty of any saved person in the local church as it is the other. Do you remember when deacons were founded in Acts chapter 6? Why were they appointed? Well, there was a contention going on about the widows of the Greeks being neglected in the daily ministration, the daily feeding time. And so the apostles who were serving as pastors of the churches of that early church said, choose you out 7 men full of faith in the Holy Ghost that we may appoint to look after this. Why? That they might give themselves to the study of the word and prayer, preaching. But today we turn that around and we kind of think, well, no, the pastor spends too much time studying his Bible or praying or whatever. No, that will never happen. When we share in the burdens of others, we find that sorrows lessen and joys increase. In Romans chapter 12, verse 10, we read this, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Have you ever thought of the word kindly and the word affectioned? Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Now, fellow members need those who care. We have people who really hurt. Would it not be a wonderful thing if every member of the church knew that they were really loved, and within the local church, there were people who honestly cared for them? For fellowship in a church to be right, as the word fellowship is used in its scriptural sense, and defined for us in the first lesson of this book, loving and caring should be practiced by every member. Now, Jesus Christ is our example in this. The day was long. He was tired. As he retired to rest, some members brought their supercharged little children to see Jesus. Exhausted, weary, drained. Now little children, full of vigor, are brought to see him. The disciples, in caring for Jesus' physical need, tell them to go away. Jesus overhears them and he quickly moves to tell them to allow the little children to come to him and forbid them not. Now, although the disciples truly cared for the physical needs of Jesus Christ, there was a greater matter than that of the body. It was a matter close to our Lord's heart. It was the love of little children. The disciples would show greater care for Jesus by bringing little children unto him, because that would please Jesus Christ. And we can still do the same today, bringing children to Jesus. Now, I want to close this part on caring with these thought-provoking questions. First, ask yourself, am I measuring and looking to see what people are doing for me instead of wondering what I can do for them? Secondly, how can I show care for Christ concerning those things that are closest to his heart? Then finally, am I fulfilling the true sense of the word fellowship in my care for my brothers and sisters in my local church? If you can define how that you are doing these things, then my friend, I believe that you're on the right road to fellowship. Now, I have this one other area, and that is the area of forgiveness, which is the next chapter. Now, a fellowship of believers is a commitment of believers to one another. Now, to be a truly biblical local church, we must be a fellowship. And that fellowship must include agape, love, and caring. Yet fellowship must include other virtues as well. Forgiveness is one of the most important elements of fellowship. Ephesians 4:32 states, "And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Remember Jesus teaching us to pray, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Now, to forgive is desirable in all relationships, especially in the local church. Now, we must realize, however, that when we as individuals or church extend forgiveness to someone, it will often be criticized. Most often, the phrase used is, "They don't deserve forgiveness for what they did." Well, as you know, by Ephesians 2, 8, 9, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Isaiah 64:6 says that we are all as an unclean thing, that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So, my friend, if we're going to look at it from that vantage point, then we need to understand that, wow, goodness gracious, I didn't deserve salvation either, and I don't deserve any kind of forgiveness from God. Yet God gives it to us, and He wants us to forgive others, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. Now, when a church is unforgiving, it will often result in a lack of spiritual growth. Notice the gravity placed on this virtue by our Lord Jesus Himself in Matthew 6, 14 and 15. He says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." That makes it very serious to be an unforgiving person. That's strong language. Now, Paul reiterated this teaching of Christ in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, where we read, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." An unforgiving spirit can be a hindrance to revival, and if there is a revival, it can stop it if we persist in an unforgiving spirit as individual Christians or as a local church. So often one hears the phrase, "I see no evidence of repentance in their life." Perhaps we do not understand the word repent. Repent means to change the mind, but it also means to turn away from. Both those are not different, opposite, opposing definitions. They're hand in hand, or the same coin, two sides of the same coin. You change your mind about forgiveness, and you turn away from that former attitude.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send it your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.